You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Folks, Mother's Day is around the corner, and let me talk to you about 1-800-Flowers. I can't wait. Every year, it's a tradition. I send stuff to my mother, my mother-in-law, and my wife because they are three amazing moms. They're better than all your moms out there. You think you have good moms? No, I have good moms in my life. I'm just kidding. This was a little harsh. I'm sure you guys all have good moms too. From your mom to the mother of your children and all the moms in between, this Mother's Day, give back to the ones that have given you everything. 1-800-Flowers helps you celebrate all amazing moms, from homemade bouquets, sweet treats, gourmet food, and one-of-a-kind gifts, ordered easily and delivered fresh. For a limited time, you can save up to 40% off Mother's Day bestsellers at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan. Don't wait. Order today and save up to 40% at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
This is The Hockey Show. Roy Bellamy, David Druck in the Hockey News. This is our trade deadline show, ladies and gentlemen. David Pignotta is going to show up, and so will Darren Drager from TSN.
Big guns.
Big guns. Woo. We are going to guess what's going to happen during the trade deadline.
This is the trade deadline show.
The trade deadline show. But before we get to that, we're going to talk about the Florida Panthers, who won the 13th game out of 15.
Man.
And it's a lot. It's a lot on paper when you look at it. Just a whole bunch of W's on your screen here and on the computer. So, but they haven't played well really that recently. I mean, they've gone to overtime three times in the last five games. And last night especially, we saw a couple of blown coverages that led to breakaways, one goal. And that faceoff goal, I mean, they had four Panthers spotted up in front of the crease. I don't know how Stolarz was able to see that puck.
Yeah. And Paul Maurice even said after the game that the first couple of goals that they scored were a little untraditional. Yeah. But I think, just to your point, Roy, that's what makes this Panthers team so unique compared to past years and even other teams. When they don't have their A game, they're still able to find a way to get that dub and to get the 2 points. They scratch and claw, whether it's relying on their goaltending, relying on the ridiculous talent pool that they've got. So this is a pretty stacked team right now, even when they're not at their best.
And the special teams last night, the penalty kill, even though Sam Reinhart scored a shorthanded goal, not that great.
Well, I think that was Paul Maurice was talking about after the game. You're dealing with a very young, fast, skilled team in Montreal that's really got nothing to lose right now. And Florida, you know, for what it's worth, they've got a lot riding on every game. They've got a lot going on. They're focusing on the playoffs, so perhaps a little tight at times. But special teams are going to be clutch for this team just because we've seen throughout the year that it's carried them, especially lately with the power play and the penalty kill. So, yeah, it's the kind of thing that these are the games that you want to kind of work out those kinks.
Sam Reinhart also scored a power play goal. That's number 40 and 41 on the season.
Man, Sam Reinhart. That guy's going to get paid, huh?
Yeah.
That might be something we want to ask these insiders about.
Yeah, there might be a bit of a sacrifice for the Panthers here so that they can actually pay Sam Reinhart.
Well, that's going to be the big question, isn't it? Are they going to be able to pay the Reinharts, the Forslings, the Montours, everybody that's going to be UFA after this year? They're going to have some decisions to make, so we'll see if they can get everything done. Because I know there is a plan for Bill Zito, the Panthers GM, to get everything done. We'll see if everybody cooperates.
And as I said, today is the trade deadline show, and from the fourth period, we have David Pignotta. We are going to talk a little bit of trade deadline, but first, I want to talk about the Los Angeles Kings. You're over there on the West Coast. They're currently tied for a wild card spot. Do you think they're going to be buyers or sellers?
Honestly, it's going to come down to the overall future or fate, immediate future of Adrian Kempe and his health. If he's done for the regular season, and there's a strong belief that that could be the case, then they're going to engage. Now, some people think he could come back at the end of the month. If that is the case, if that's the diagnosis, then cap space, bye-bye. They have none. But if he is out until middle of April to the end of the month, then they're going to utilize that full cap space, the $5.5 million that is Kempe's hit, in order to add. They've already asked about guys like Tyler Toffoli and Max Pacioretty and a few other players out there to try to get a gauge of you know, what the marketplace is, what the price tag is like for some of these guys. But again, really everything or anything that they do for now is dependent on Adrian Kempe's health. If he comes back in the March, forget about it. If it's prolonged, it's going to give Rob Blake some wiggle room.
What about Quentin Byfield? It seems like he has a lot of potential. He's the highest black draft pick in NHL history, and he's having a fine season. What do you think about his career right now?
Oh, it's just starting to climb. Like, this is he's not even scratched the surface of his potential yet. And he's a versatile player. He was drafted as a center. He's playing the wing right now. He can play in different situations. He's really, actually, in the last four games, really propped up Pierre-Luc Dubois' performance as well. Since they were kind of put on the line together, this guy is going to be an elite star in the National Hockey League. It's just going to take some guys take a little bit of extra time, and with the depth that LA has, he doesn't have to be forced into situations to be the main guy right now at this young age. He's going to be a very good player for a number of years, and I think will eventually evolve if he isn't starting to already into a fan favorite. And in LA, they went in the right direction with him, and they slow cooked it. They didn't want to rush him, and it's certainly paying off right now, and it will continue to.
And Anze Kopitar has, including this year, 3 years left on his contract. Does he have enough left on the tank, or do you see him playing out the rest of his career on that contract?
He's going to kind of see where it goes. I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if this is his last overall deal. Maybe depending on where they're at, maybe he sticks around for another a year or whatnot, but you know, when the sun kind of settles on his playing career, he'll eventually go back to Slovenia for the most part. Probably still have a place in LA, but go back to Slovenia with the wife and kids and just live basically like a king out there. He's a huge celebrity in his own country, as well as obviously in LA. So, look, he's having a great year. He had some, you know, a little, I guess maybe a round all-star right before he dipped a little bit. And maybe some people were questioning his longevity, but he's kind of re-upped that in the last little bit. Really, the entire team kind of reinvigorated recently, and a nice 5-1 victory the other night over Vancouver should add a little bit of extra confidence, not just to him, but the rest of that roster.
Dave, I want to switch gears to the Eastern Conference now. A couple of the top teams in the East that are possibly cup contending could be active at the deadline. Not so sure. Curious your take on both the Carolina Hurricanes over in the Metropolitan and the Boston Bruins in the Atlantic.
Well, Carolina right now is looking to add up front. They were part of the goalie discussions, but with Freddie Anderson set to come back, they actually have to figure out what they want to do there, because they're going to end up with four goalies active once Freddie does come back. And he's been skating for the last few weeks. Should be ready to go, by the sounds of things, sometime next week, if not a little bit sooner. But they want to add up front. They want to add an extra little bit of scoring punch to that lineup and kind of deepen their offensive abilities. And if they can do that, and there was some talk that they were making a little bit of progress on that, so maybe we get word, you know, later today or even tomorrow. But the Hurricanes would like to certainly add to the offensive side of the game. And I think from Boston's perspective, they're looking at every option. They're looking at defense. They've kicked the tires on guys like Sean Walker and Matt Dumba. If the prices drop a little bit, then I think they engage a little bit further on that. Otherwise, or in addition to that, I should say, center position. They'd like to add up front as well. Center position is still a primary to further deepen themselves up the middle. Alex Wenberg, I think, is a guy on their radar out of Seattle.
I did also want to ask you about the Florida Panthers. We've heard them mentioned with the likes of Noah Hanifin. We've heard them mentioned more recently with Vladimir Tarasenko. Now, I've heard that Tarasenko is interested in coming to Florida. I'm not sure that there's mutual interest there. I wanted to get your take on that.
Yeah, I think he would. I think that's a destination. And my understanding is he is willing to move to a contender. He's relayed that message to the Ottawa Senators. It's just a matter now of Steve Staios, their GM, kind of figuring out what the best deal is, but he would be interested in going to Florida. You're right. I don't know if the feeling is fully mutual. Now, if the price drops and it's like a fifth round pick and Ottawa eats half of his $5 million contract, then I think Bill Zito reconsiders that direction. But barring something like that, I think there are other teams. I think Carolina, who tried to sign him this summer, would be in on him. I think Vegas is in on him. A few other teams, but Tarasenko is going to have options, but he is willing to go to a contender. It's just a matter of the Sens now finding the right fit.
The bottom three teams are Anaheim, San Jose, and Chicago. Obviously, Chicago's probably not going to do anything for this deadline, but what do you see Anaheim doing at the trade deadline?
Frank Vatrano is out there. Adam Henrique is out there. Sam Carrick is out there. Teams are calling about some of their other players as well. Vatrano has 1 year left on his contract. The Rangers would love to make that reunion happen again and bring him back to the Big Apple. So they're having conversations there. Adam Henrique is being discussed across the board. He just had his him and his wife had their second child at the start of the week, and the Ducks were waiting to see, when that would happen. And talks have kind of picked up since now that they welcomed their second daughter. So we'll see kind of how that progresses, but I'm expecting, and Adam is too, that he is going to get traded ahead of the deadline, just a matter of when, not if. Vatrano, because of that extra year, they don't have to do it, but if, the Rangers, for example, pay a bit of a premium, then I think they would certainly bite on that. John Gibson is still available, but I think that might be more of a summer thing if it does happen. And we'll see who else can kind of get plucked out of there. Jakob Silfverberg, unless Anaheim retains half of that contract, probably going to be sticking around. He's a UFA at the end of the year as well.
Dave, with the Edmonton Oilers, they've been a lot of fun to keep track of this year, obviously. It looks like they're going to be a playoff team. It sounds like that they want to be pretty active at the deadline and kind of load up for a playoff run. What do you see them doing? Yeah. And do you see them kind of making that run?
I do. If they make these ads, they want to add a defenseman. They want to add a mid-six forward, somebody that can slot in, be interchangeable second, third unit, depending on situational play and playoff matchups and things like that. So Pavel Buchnevich out of St. Louis has got another year in his contract. They're very much engaged in that. I think Carolina, again, another team that we just talked about looking for forwards, I think they're in that mix. Vegas as well. He's got a pricey tag to him. You're basically looking at two first-round picks plus to get Buchnevich out of St. Louis, or a first plus an equivalent level prospect. But Edmonton's right in the thick of things. They also want a defenseman. And for them, if they make any additions that are impactful, they're going to have to move bodies out. They're right up against the cap. So anything that comes in, even if there is salary retention, it's going to require somebody moving out, whether it's Cody Ceci or Brett Kulak on defense or Warren Fogle up front. All three of those guys, and I believe they know that they could be casualties of the cap situation in Edmonton. I wouldn't be surprised to see something kind of happen there. In fact, I believe, I'll put this out here before I report it elsewhere. They have an offer on the table for one of the top defensemen that are available right now. It's a first-round pick and Cody Ceci. I don't know if it gets to the finish line, but that's something that's currently on the table for one of the defensemen that are out there.
Finally, the Ottawa Senators, probably one of the biggest disappointments of the season, second to last in the conference. Yeah. Do you see them selling off maybe a Jacob Chychrun?
Oof. Well, he's available. They've been telling everyone they're not shopping him, but they're also saying, all right, well, give us your best offer. Or let's talk more about this. So semantics, really. But teams have called about him. They've called about Josh Norris, who just got hurt and his season might be over. So a lot of teams, when you're at the bottom, they like to vulture in and see where they can get some deals or force somebody to potentially, make a panic move. I think unless something steps up for Chychrun, I think this is a discussion that happens in the offseason closer to the draft. I wouldn't be surprised at all if something happens around that in June in Vegas. But, barring that, we talked about Tarasenko. Dominic Kubalik's going to be moved. That's their goal anyway, that he gets moved out as well for basically a mid-round pick. And then outside of those two guys, they're open to hockey moves, whether it's Chychrun or another people, some players before Riley Gregg slapped that puck right into that open cage in Toronto. Teams were calling about him too. So everyone's just kind of looking around and just making inquiries to see what's there. But I think Ottawa, if they can, would like to be active, and they're utilizing this deadline as basically a speeding up process for their off-season movement. So if they can make moves now and then follow that up at the draft, go into free agency, add to this group, I think that's the objective, especially with this deadline for the Sens. So it's going to be interesting to see how they kind of play this one off. But if they do something fairly bold, whether it's Chychrun or somebody else, don't be shocked.
From the fourth period, David Pignota, thank you for joining us.
You got it. Thanks, guys.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Have you ever wondered if Chet Holmgren might be a descendant of Abraham Lincoln? Or if a UFC fighter could beat an alien in a fight? You might have not, and that's okay. I probably have thought about the UFC one, to be honest. But Shea Serrano and Jason Concepcion from the Six Trophies podcast have. If you love basketball, and more importantly, if you love fun, you got to listen to Six Trophies, where Jason and Shea serve up the biggest moments from all around the NBA with their brand of unbridled joy, banter, and pop culture side quests. Each week, they hand out six pop culture themed trophies for six basketball related activities. Stuff like the Denzel Washington and Training Day trophy, given out to the player or team having the best week around the NBA. Or the Lauryn Hill You Might Win Some, But You Just Lost One trophy for the team or player that just can't get it together. Plus a bunch more trophies for all the good, bad, or just plain head scratching moments from all around the NBA. This playoff season, you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
Don Le Batard.
Oh, I think Larry Fitzgerald's on the green right there.
Stugatz.
That's Alfonso Ribeiro.
How do you think that Larry Fitzgerald
and the son.
Oh, the son.
To be fair.
All right, whatever.
Alfonso Ribeiro has a great ass.
This is the Don Le Batard show with the Stugatz.
On TSN in Canada, there are 2 days that everybody looks forward to. It's the trade deadline show and the free agent show. We are looking forward to the trade deadline show. That's Trade Center on TSN. That's going to be next week on Friday, March 8th, starting at 8 a.m. They're going to have like 35 people on the panel. It's going to look like an Earth, Wind & Fire concert, really. So many people are going to be on the stage. And one of those people is Darren Drager. Darren Drager is going to join us to talk trade deadline right now. And we're going to start off with the two trades that have happened already. We're going to start off with Chris Tanev. Can you explain what happened in that trade?
Well, it was an interesting trade. I mean, obviously, Chris Tanev is a right shot defenseman, was one of the most coveted available defensemen. And the Dallas Stars identified that Tanev was going to be a near perfect fit. But there were other clubs that were keenly interested: the Toronto Maple Leafs, the Vancouver Canucks, the Colorado Avalanche to a degree, the Edmonton Oilers. And, you know, they're somewhere critical of Craig Conroy and the Calgary Flames because they feel like maybe he jumped a little bit early. But they got a package that they were looking for, including a prospect defenseman who is tracking to be a real good defensive defenseman in the National Hockey League. So that's the tricky balance, guys, between now and the March 8th trade deadline, is knowing when to pull the trigger. And the Tanev deal, I think, more or less kind of restarts the trading platform, if you will. And obviously that carried into Ilya Lyubushkin going from the Anaheim Ducks to the Toronto Maple Leafs with the Carolina Hurricanes involved as a broker. So when you first begin with Tanev and the Calgary Flames, I think Calgary did well. I look at the New Jersey Devils as being a broker on that deal, and I know the Dallas Stars are over the moon based on the fact that they add a real high character individual.
And the Ilya Lyubushkin trade, yeah. Can you explain that one?
Yeah, well, look, Brad Treliving, the general manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs, again, was in on Chris Tanev, but I think he recognized fairly early in the week that it just wasn't going to work. The fit wasn't there from Calgary's standpoint. So when Treliving knew that he was going to have to turn. He had been in constant communication with some of the other guys in play. I think of Danny Briere and Sean Walker. I think Ilya Lyubushkin and Pat Verbeek in the Anaheim Ducks. There's a familiarity with Lyubushkin, reliability. You know, he's a big, strong guy. Played well with Morgan Rielly when he was formerly with the Toronto Maple Leafs. So the fact that they got the Carolina Hurricanes involved, the Anaheim Ducks retained 50%. Carolina retains 25%, and it only costs the Maple Leafs a third-round draft pick and a sixth-round draft pick. I think that's some pretty good work by Treliving. And I also think that the door is still open for Treliving and the Leafs to do something else, like add another defenseman. But they shore up a position of need, and that was that right shot defense.
Darren, I want to ask you about another team in the Eastern Conference, and it's the New York Rangers. They've been on a hell of a streak lately. It looks like Igor Shesterkin has reclaimed his Vezina form, and that's a team that's rolling. Do you think that they're going to make any moves? Just because, like, I've heard things like they're going to be like in 94, where they were already so good, but they made different moves to get it ready for the playoffs. So do you see anything like that going down this year?
I absolutely do. And, you know, I think you can expand that list. Any of the teams that we would consider to be top contending teams, I think that they're going to do everything within their power to try and upgrade. So I most definitely see Chris Drury and the New York Rangers adding something. There's been at least a loose connection, I would say, to the Anaheim Ducks. Pat Verbeek has been scouting closely, you know, watching the New York Rangers, the Carolina Hurricanes. And, you know, I can see Carolina adding a piece, like maybe Vetrano, if there's a fit there. I can see the New York Rangers taking a hard look at Adam Henrique. I mean, this guy is a salt of the earth, experienced forward who just all around makes you better. So I can see the fit there. And I'm not suggesting that that would be the only target of Chris Drury and the New York Rangers. But there was some speculation a couple of weeks ago on the possibility of Kaapo Kakko being in play. And I don't think that we can officially dismiss that. It just seems like a real long shot at this point because, man, has he changed his game. He's turned it around. Yeah. You know, coming off an injury, maybe it took him a little bit longer to get up to pace and get back up to game speed and all of that. But he's been a real contributing piece for the New York Rangers. But I still think that Drury is on the hunt. And I wouldn't be surprised if there's a connection to the Ducks in some form.
Anthony Duclair is his own agent, and I believe he's shopping himself around. Do you believe that he's going to get dealt?
Well, he's on the list, you know, so I can't dismiss that possibility. I'm always careful in putting too much stock in the list of trade bait players that all of us produce on a daily basis, but I mean, we put those names on those graphics because they're legit. Those are players in play. I can appreciate why Anthony Duclair would be in play. You know, he's a very quick forward. He's got the experience. He certainly has the resume. Does it get a little trickier because he represents himself? Maybe. But in today's world, unless you have true trade protection, which includes either the no trade clause or the no move clause, the agents aren't as involved as they once were in negotiating these trades, unless you're looking at a type of extension. But when I think of Anthony Duclair, I think of a depth forward who can also play up in the lineup. So I think that there'll be some interest, and I'm sure that there is some interest in Duclair.
Now, one of the hottest teams in the West lately has been the Nashville Predators, and they're looks like they're going to be a playoff team. They're right on like above the Mendoza line, and there's a bit of a gap there, as you know, in the Western Conference standings. Now, this is a team that's got picks. They've got cap space. Do you think Nashville is going to be making some moves and try to maybe make a little playoff run here?
Well, I could see Nashville making some moves. Excuse me, just battling a bit of a cold here.
Oh.
But making moves in the sense of trying to improve. I feel like we should be past the speculation on UC Saros, even though people continue to talk about it. I can't envision, you know, the run that the Nashville Predators are trying to build on as we get in the late stages of the regular season here and the playoffs right around the corner. And you trade a star goaltender like that. Carrier's name has been out there. I think that that's a bit of a long shot now. But maybe Barry Trotz, the general manager of the Preds, has changed his thinking with the currency that he has to maybe bring in some reinforcements. So among the teams that we're watching closely, fellas, for the next week leading up to next Friday's trade deadline, the Nashville Predators, because there is a level of uncertainty. They've kicked the switch here. They're not looking to be in the selling mode, but given some of the assets that they have, perhaps they're in a position where they can add to kind of bolster what they already have with the playoffs in mind.
The two teams that Steve Yzerman has affected the rosters, Tampa and Detroit, are currently in a wild card spot. Do you see them making any moves?
Well, when I look at the Tampa Bay Lightning, I have all the time in the world for the management of Julian Breezeball, the GM of the Tampa Bay Lightning, because he was recognized since he took over the position from Yzerman that it's a real small window, that window of having an opportunity to compete for the Stanley Cup. And they've been very, very successful. But when you look at the roster of the Tampa Bay Lightning, I think that you can absolutely appreciate that this is a team that knows that that window is coming to a close here. So I'd be surprised if Tampa Bay isn't actively involved. It looks like they want to add something to their defense. There's been open speculation about maybe connecting to the Calgary Flames and Noah Hanifin. As of our reporting yesterday, the Flames don't have enough yet. That can change with a simple phone call to encourage them to move Hanifin, who's playing his best hockey. But I could see Tampa Bay and the Boston Bruins, as an example, trying to improve in that area. And then I think Steve Yzerman and the Detroit Red Wings are still feeling things out a little bit and trying to figure out where they are. Are they a playoff team? Are they a non-playoff team? Yzerman has been pretty creative and very active over the last number of years as, you know, the Red Wings come out of that long rebuilding process. So as much as he may want to give his guys a shot in the arm, it also has to be made. Decisions like this has to be made more so on the long term. What's the better fit for the Detroit Red Wings moving forward, as opposed to helping on the short term in trying to lock down a playoff spot or stay in the mix?
Now, out west, the big name that we've heard a lot lately is Elias Pettersson. Can you kind of give us an insight on what the latest is with him in Vancouver?
Well, that's a developing story, and it is a big one in Vancouver and really around the National Hockey League. And this is crafty veteran management by Jim Rutherford, Patrick Alvin, and the Vancouver Canucks, because last weekend there was speculation that surfaced that, you know, Rutherford and the Vancouver Canucks were approaching teams and at least nibbling at the edges of the potential of trade with Pettersson, either between now and the deadline or probably more likely in the offseason. And I think that that was purely with design to encourage the player to the negotiating table, which absolutely happened. So it worked. So the contract negotiations began on Tuesday night, continued into Wednesday, yesterday, and I'm sure that they'll resume again today. It's a tricky one, right? Because Elias Pettersson did not want to be a distraction. He didn't want to be disruptive, but now he's in a position where, you know, all of the speculation, everything that's hovering around the Vancouver Canucks has been exactly that. So why not engage? And that's where they're at now. A player of that magnitude, you're looking at anywhere from a five-year contract extension to the maximum 8 years. And when you look at the productivity of Elias Pettersson, I look at the extension of William Nylander and the Toronto Maple Leafs, and that came in at an annual average salary of $11.5 million. Now, Pettersson is tracking a little bit higher than that, but you have that restricted free agent year, so it is complicated. And what will happen is Paprasan and J.P. Barry, who represent Elias Pettersson, will gather all of the options and the possibilities that they've discussed and negotiated with Canucks management, take them back to Pettersson and say, all right, which one is the best fit for you? Pettersson will decide which one is the best fit for him. And if that jives with the Vancouver Canucks, then they get a deal done very quickly. Could it be 2 days? Sure. Could it be a couple of weeks or in the offseason? Absolutely. Because, you know, it's fashionable now for players, again, of that level and that skill set to want a shorter term. So I'm sure the player is looking at a five-year option, and the Vancouver Canucks are probably thinking, no, we'd prefer to get you on an eight-year extension. So I think there's some work that lies ahead.
And down here, we cover the Florida Panthers, and they have people that they need to sign in the offseason. But for right now, looking at the trade deadline, what do you think Bill Zito has up his sleeve?
Well, Billy Zito always has something up his sleeve. You know, he's one of the more aggressive general managers. But also, guys, you know this because you watch this team closely, and they are so good. I mean, in so many different ways, They're considered the model of the Eastern Conference and maybe to a point across the National Hockey League based on how Paul Maurice has that team committed to playing. They play hard, but they can play any different way. So you got to be careful not to mess too much or tinker too much with the chemistry. Now, I think that the Florida Panthers would like to add a winger, maybe a depth center. But I don't think that Bill Zito is looking at the looming trade deadline through a position of need. You always have wants, but it's money in, money out for the Florida Panthers. They're a cap team. If there's an opportunity to add a depth forward, then I'm sure he will do that. And it wouldn't surprise me at all if he does that. But if there isn't an affordability or if there isn't a financial fit where he just, you know, he can't make it work, I don't think that the Florida Panthers are overly concerned or look at their roster and see holes. I don't believe that for a second.
You can catch him on one of TSN's biggest shows of the year, is Trade Center, and it's next week, March 8th, starting at 8 a.m. Darren Drager, thank you for joining us.
Hey, guys, thank you.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Don Levitard.
How do people always go missing in the mountains? Don't go to the mountains. And by the way, I don't want to bring race into it. This is the most white people thing ever. Going missing in the middle of the mountains. It's the strangest thing. You go by yourself. You don't take a radio. You don't take a phone. You're missing for 4 days, and they find you like 10 years later covered in snow. And it's like, don't go by yourself. If you're going to go on a trail, don't go by yourself.
Stugatz.
Put it on the poll. Is it the whitest person thing ever, I believe is what you called it? Going into the woods by yourself. Is going into the woods by yourself.
I can't disagree with that, man.
I mean, so black people don't camp?
Yeah, black people don't hike. They don't camp. They don't go out into the woods.
This is the Don Levitard Show with the Stugatz.
YouTube and DraftKings Network exclusive here. We're going to open up the club in moments. We have to get to the polls as well. For those on YouTube, you will see a Ben Lyons, David Sampson, Adnan Virk segment that also appears on our podcast feed. Very excited to announce. I know Dan did it awkwardly earlier this week, but the three of those gentlemen will be here in studio March 10th, a Sunday, for a live watch party, a watch along for the Oscars. It's the first time we've ever done anything like this around an award show. And I know that plenty of people from the Metalark family and the Levitard Show are going to be here. And we're going to actually host an Oscars watch party as they will be your guides through all the red carpet looks. And as you know from producing Cinephile, big movie guys, Ben Lyons, it's in his family.
Everyone here is talking about they want to like dress up fancy for this. Like, can I just, that makes me not want to come.
Yeah.
That's the only reason I'm going to show up.
We have makeup. We have hair and makeup.
Willow's going to wear a tuxedo.
I saw a thing in Slack about let's dress to the nines. I'm like, gosh, I want to wear a hat.
You want to dress some more like the fours?
Yeah.
Maybe a two.
Like, can I wear one of those shirts with a tux? Like, hey, I'm the wacky guy who's wearing a shirt.
Oh, that's a great idea. Shirt.
Mike Fuentes is going to do that.
Damn it.
Spoiler just Jack alert. Black it.
Yeah. Wow.
But I'm very excited about that. It's the first time we've tried something like that. And it opens us up to a whole new audience. So, and those three guys are really good at what they do, and I'm excited to see them work together. We've had a fair amount of polls this week. Chris Cody, what are the polls?
I have them.
Billy Gill, what are the polls?
All right, before we get to the polls, I just want to remind you guys, the polls are presented by the new season of Peacock, the Peacock original, The Traitors, streaming now with new episodes Thursdays at 9 p.m. Eastern, only on Peacock. And I want to talk to you guys about The Traitors, but I'm not, because it aired last night, so I don't want to spoil anything. So I will not be talking to you about
it's a good show.
The Traitors right now. I love it. So does Taylor's mom.
Oh.
Yeah. Anyways, is roller skating a good idea right up until you're about to do it? 85.8% of the audience said yes, it is. Have you ever honked your love and support for someone with your car horn? 55% of the audience said yes. Did you know that Finland was the happiest place on earth? 55.8% of the audience said no. They didn't know that.
I want to go there for the Panthers game.
Panthers, yeah. Reportedly, it hasn't been confirmed by the Panthers, but they're going to be playing. They're going to be playing the Stars because Sasha Barkov is
his home country.
Well, Barky. Yeah, we've just like totally forgotten about the Russian.
Does Dallas have a player from there? Is that why? I'm just curious.
I don't know. I'll double check for you.
Get back to me on that.
Please close that loop.
Where would you prefer to be, the happiest place or the most magical place?
Magical.
72.9% of the audience said the happiest place.
I'd rather be in the happiest place, yeah. But everyone just assumes it's Disney. Yeah.
Cereal for dinner? 59.7% of the audience said yes.
Been there. Wow. Good way to lose weight.
Is everyone made happier once Jim Tonsula has been mentioned? 77.8% of the audience said yes. Did you know that the LA Clippers were boats? 52% of the audience said no.
Really?
Is now the best time in the history of America to be a skeptic?
I don't think so.
88.5% of the audience said yes. You're bad at this, Chris.
Wait, what was the question again?
Is now the best time in the history of America to be a skeptic?
I was being a skeptic. That was
no, I get what. And what was the result?
Gotcha. 88.5% of the audience said yes.
The Stars have four finished players on that team.
Oh, that's big.
Four.
That's and the what Panthers about their starters,
have,
though?
They have two.
Yeah, Lundell, right?
Lundell and Barkov. Yeah.
The pillow guy?
No. Not Mike Lindell.
Oh.
Anton Lindell.
Does MLB spring training make you happy? 55.5% of the audience said yes. Did you know that F- was a grade? 72% of the audience said no. That's it. Those are the polls.
Jealous.
Brought
to
you by the traders.
Jealous of the people that have never received an
72%
F-
is an F-.
Yeah. No, it is not.
It's like a C plus now. It's almost a B.
Yeah. What?
Oh, yeah. Kids are stupid as hell.
Wow.
Yeah, geez.
Oh, wait, that's easy. 93 to get an A.
I think it might be an A now, actually.
When I was in high school, they changed it. Like when I was in the middle, that's, I guess I'm dating myself. But then 90 to 100 was.
They made it like a 10 point scale at one point in time.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
To 89 B, 70 to 79 C, 60.
My school punished us.
That's a C by that.
A C was an 84 at my school.
Yeah. Jesus. Well, it's Miami-Dade education that we went to, Mike. So yeah.
I went to Christian schools my entire life. I didn't really have much use for it. I didn't really take it seriously. And I wish I took it more seriously, especially now in the day and age where you can just go to ChatGPT and do everything.
Do you ever meet someone that's like, I wish I could go back to school. I'd do worse. I did too well.
I would probably do worse, but my grades would be better. Because of how much we've advanced with artificial intelligence. I remember taking tests where there were no calculators involved.
I want to go back to school. I feel like I'd like enjoy learning stuff now. I didn't enjoy it at the time.
What would school be like?
I just wanted to get drunk.
I'm over these people that want to go back and do things when they were younger. Get me to retirement. That's where I want to get to.
Really?
Yeah, I don't want to be young again. So I'm
closer
fine
to death.
Being young. Get me, yeah. Exactly right.
What
get
do you imagine like it was like? Like, what would a school be like if it was all people that were doing it a second time? Like, would it be a more rowdy experience?
Creepy as hell.
We'd check Mr. Beast. He's definitely done this. that is exactly how Mr. Beast's video starts.
And they went back to school for 6 months. I paid them 10 grand a day.
I held a one-year-old captive for 3 months. Here's the one. That was crazy.
I had an ad for that on Twitter every time I logged in for a week, and I was too afraid to click it and watch.
I trapped this person inside of a supermarket to see how long it would take before they had psychosis. But I'm a good guy, generally. I might be president one day.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting enrolls for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Individual results may vary. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You've lost so much weight. How'd you do it?
I got medical treatment for weight loss through Zelty and lost 50 pounds. I struggled for the longest time, but Zelty makes it easy and affordable to get weight loss treatment 100% online. Zelty providers can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications clinically shown to help people lose weight, like Wegovy, Zepbound, and others.
I've heard those medications can help you lose weight, but aren't they expensive?
Zelty can help get the medication covered by insurance, so it's as little as $0 a month.
What if you don't have insurance?
No problem. Zelty may be able to help you get other GLP-1 medications for 80 to 90% off the price of name brand medications.
I'm ready to start losing weight. How do I get started with Zelty?
Just text.
Text THIN to 200-300 to get started today with Zelty and see if weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound are right for you. Don't wait. Text now for a link to your exclusive offer. Text THIN to 200-300. That's THIN to 200-300. THIN to 200-300.